in a positive manner. At the same time, negative issues that needed to come out were brought out. And I also spent time today reading all of the written comments that people submitted that did not have an opportunity. And if you haven't had a chance as advisory board members, please do. There were excellent additional suggestions that didn't come out. Wyatt, is that available to the public to see those comments?
Those comments to this point have just been shared with the advisory board. I think we'd intended to make them available to the city commission prior to your joint work session.
Okay.
May I say something?
Yes.
First time, so Mary Enoch, you need my address or just my name?
Just your name.
Mary Enoch. One thing, when I would take my granddaughters to the park, and I always chat with people, and I met a lot of young moms. I was the grandma, and I would say, so how do you like Manhattan? And they always said, there's so much here for our young children. That is such a wonderful thing. And growing up in Manhattan, I don't want Manhattan to lose that. And so I appreciate, as you said, having the meeting and listening to our voice. And I just pray that you continue to listen to the voice of the people so that all children have the chance to be whatever they want to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Other general public comment at this point? Anything from, your finger's ready to hit the button.
Yes, I do actually have a question. I did read through all the comments, and as Josh just mentioned again, the people who left, why. I do have a question that I would like city administrative staff to answer, and that is, what is the difference in philosophy or vision or strategic planning or whatever you want to call it? That the city administration has that has caused this mass exodus from Parks and Rec. That seems to be a continuing issue that's being brought up as a difference in view. So I would like to have the administration address that publicly, honestly, so that everybody is kind of aware of what that difference is.
Why?
Not necessarily right now, but at some point.
Yeah, I expect we'll, I think we've spoken to that answer before, and I expect we'll continue to address those causes as we talk about our first item, which is budget. I think the presentation from Jason Hilgers, deputy city manager, to the city commission on July 26th started to address those issues as well in terms of changing philosophy around cost and services that the city was able to provide based on the revenues that we had available to us, and the resistance that generated, because I think all staff come to work wanting to deliver a certain service, deliver it well, and when we started to be pinched on revenues, and that placed a strain on the services that we were able to provide.
And I understand that, and I accept that. It doesn't match up with what I've heard on the other side, though. And, you know, I know the city has avoided the privatization word, which has been repeated again here. It's a pretty common thread, which indicates I don't know you very well, and I appreciate you and I respect you, but at some point, something was discussed about privatizing things. I don't think this many people would have that issue if it were not a fact. And so, you know, if that's what was discussed to cause some of this, I think it needs to be brought to light. And if that's really what we all don't want to do, which I, for one, do not want to fully do that, I mean, I think that's an option for anybody who wants to do it, but to completely strip out Parks and Rec to do it, no. And I for one, would not approve of that, but you know, you can't fix a problem you're not willing to address. So
Wyatt, do you want to say anything further, or Jason perhaps is here in the audience, he would like to address that? Assistant deputy city manager is here.
Good afternoon, Jason Hilgers, Deputy City Manager. It's a historical view, and we can go back as far as 2015, 2016. When you start to look at revenues that came into the city versus what we budgeted, there are consequences when revenues don't materialize. That's been the presentation. We can hop into that now, but when you talk about cuts and not spending budgets, it's not just Park and Rec. It's the entire organization. We are not an entity that passes a budget and receives the revenue we anticipate. We actually have to watch. We actually have to pay attention to where you all shop every day. $4 million comes into the general fund from property taxes. That means $28 million in 2021 came from somewhere else. It's not property taxes. If we passed a budget that was 100% property taxes, we could pretty much count on that revenue to come in. But when we have $28 million worth of revenue coming from another source, we have to watch it. We have to watch it by the month. And in 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, those revenues didn't come in. We met with every department to cut, to reduce, to not hire back. I sat down with Randy Clifford, Eddie Eastus, and Casey over the last 3 years and have had the joy of trying to identify where to cut. And I use joy loosely. This is not, it's not fun. 2021, we took in more sales tax than we anticipated, had a better year. We get the pleasure of also looking into a crystal ball every year and telling you what it's going to be next year. I'm conservative when it comes to it. I'm a little bit jaded based on 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. So when I have conversations with staff in this building, it's about ways we can spend less. That's across the board. Eddie and Randy and Casey, well aware of it. We made changes in 17 and 18 and 19. Some of them fairly invisible, fairly. If you watch what we do every day, you knew the cuts were happening. I'm not sure I understand the word privatization all that much, because privatization to me is an active alternative city seek for services that is not being provided by the public. We were approached in 2017 by groups that perform soccer in this community. That's the only thing I'm aware of that has transpired in the last 5 years where we have not provided a youth program, but yet have relied on a private group to offer a program, who were dominating the use of our facilities, turf in which we were able to install via different finance strategies that we were successful in. They wanted to use it. They wanted to use it all. And the reaction was, we have our programs to do. Well, let us do your programs. Okay, let's look at this, see if it can work. If you have other examples of privatization, I guess I'd be willing to hear those out. But that's a relationship that's materialized over several years. And it didn't start that way.
Well, we don't have one item on the agenda, but Wyatt provided us a program participation numbers for the past 2013. I think it was very telling, and it wasn't privatization necessarily, it was just programs not around. There were And I admit that there were probably multiple reasons, but I counted 28 programs that are no longer happening in 2022. The participation from 292,000 went down to 155,000, so we lost 137,000 participants. Registrants, we lost 9,000 registrants in the past couple of years. Now, we had a lot of mixed things, from tax cuts to, or tax revenue not brought in, and COVID and multiple, and lack of staff. So it's to me, it's a larger picture than just telling adult sports, find your own, adult softball to find your own, and that's not privatization, that's just kind of ending. And so I think it's a bigger picture for us as the advisory board as we pull into these figures and start understanding what's happened in the past few years and wanting to re-look back at how, not how that happened, but how do we go forward in a positive way with staff and knowing the passion of people that have come forward and have asked to both volunteer and to help in any way. How do we take that energy and make this the best Parks and Rec department in the state? And
Again. I do have two more questions.
Okay.
Sorry. With regard to soccer, my understanding is one of the directors of those organizations doesn't even live in Manhattan. So if we were to consider privatization for other things in the future, I would prefer to keep it local. Secondly, you mentioned sales tax. And during the presentation last time, or in last meeting, I think we were approached about approving a sales tax increase, but yet it was also said in the same presentation that you can't really rely on that very well. So there's just kind of a discrepancy there. I don't know why we'd approve something we can't rely on, but that's all I have.
Well, the alternative is property taxes, and wasn't much of a stomach or an appetite for additional property taxes. Sales tax clearly can generate revenue. When you're relying on as much of it as we do, any flat or declining sales tax has serious repercussions for an organization such as ourselves. We're not the school district. We're not the county. We don't pass budgets and they're funded. We pass budgets and wait for revenue to come in. And when you have 5 years of flat or declining revenues, you have to start adjusting your operation. Your cash balance is also extremely important. Think of it as your own checking account. There are balances within your accounts that you're not comfortable once they drop below. And once they drop below, your patterns, your behaviors start to change. We continuously saw our cash balance decline. And we had to start making changes in how we operate as an organization in order to build those back up to an amount that is recommended by a Governmental Finance Officers Association and what you see traditionally in first-class cities in Kansas and throughout the region. Financially, we were not in a good spot. We were downgraded by our rating agencies who rate our debt. These are not circumstances that indicate strong financial health. They indicate dependence on revenues that are not consistent, which is highlighted in almost every rating agency opinion we've had issued. Low cash balances, reliance on sales tax, acknowledgement you live in a university community supported by state and federal dollars, a federal installation supported by federal dollars, an economy that is based on a lot of things you don't control, and a lot of things that politically could be undone. Governmental Finance Officers Association, a general fund our size, recommends anywhere from $8.5 to $10 million. In 2018, it was $1.7 million. It's the equivalent of suggesting you have $2,000 to $3,000 in your checking and you have $200. it's not a good scenario.
So, Jason, why are we just now hearing about this?
I don't know. I've talked to the commission for the last 5 years about it.
But I mean,
I mean, that's the entity that makes the decisions.
Right, but I mean, I know you said you spoke with Eddie Eastus and Randy Clifford and Casey and talked about the problems we were having with finances, and yet it never trickled down to the public.
Well, I think some have recognized it. When you talk to the public, or are you talking to this board in terms of people not knowing?
Both. I didn't know.
Yeah, the 8-10% that we trimmed out of, on average, Park and Rec's budget between 2015 and 2021 mm-hmm. is the same 8-10% we trimmed out of fire, mm-hmm. same 8-10% we trimmed out of Public Works, mm-hmm. same 12-15% we trimmed out of finance, about 17% out of general services. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you weren't part of the budgeting process, you weren't part of the commission exchange in terms of what we're doing and how we're doing it, you may not have recognized it.
Right.
But it's people. 62% of a $34 million budget is people.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have those people to run those programs.
Absolutely.
Right?
You got $1 million worth of seasonal people that used to be in your department
right.
budget. And yeah, where can we cut?
Right.
Where can we cut Eddie and Randy and Casey? Casey's mm-hmm. sitting here. He can talk about the conversations. He's down a lot of people, too.
He has been. Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing the things in the community we need him to do.
Right.
There's no argument there.
Right.
This is a financial situation.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. I don't like making those decisions.
Right.
I want the programs. I want as many services as we can provide. But I can't run the organization into the ground
no
in order to maintain those level of services.
But it's also hard to promise what's going to come this fall without staff to run it.
It's hard to promise what's going to happen next year for
right.
sure.
Right.
This fall we'll deal with. We've got programs out there.
But do you have staff to run them?
We'll figure it out. I'm confident of that. I'm confident in what Wyatt's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really am.
Mm-hmm.
There's more conversation and strategy being discussed and shared mm-hmm. now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, you know, I can speculate all day as to why people are doing what they're doing.
Right.
But our job is to live within the means that we're given.
Mm-hmm.
I can't raise taxes. I can suggest it happen. But when it doesn't, I've got to go cut.
And back to the privatization comment, baseball and softball have both switched over the last maybe 7-8 years. More outside entities are running those tournaments than local staff, correct?
Yeah, I don't know the particulars of what we're doing for baseball. Youth softball and baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In terms of what we used to do?
Correct.
In terms of recruiting tournaments and
correct.
Hosting those things?
Mm-hmm.
My son's 28. It's been a while.
Right.
Josie played softball and she's 22.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's been a while since I've been active in it from a parent and a coaching perspective.
And I think with the soccer, you've mentioned the soccer has changed. I think this year basketball changed, right? It's gone to MBA running the rec league.
Yeah, I know they approached us about using the rec centers, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure what we did with our programs.
So, I mean, some of those have already shifted as a way to still keep, I know for my perspective, I still think it's very important that we keep that base level recreation league for the youngest kids, right? If we don't do that, if we lose from 5 years old to 10 or 12 years old programming at the rec level, 30 years from now, we're going to see that effect on those kids. So,
yeah, and we've talked openly about our youth and up to a certain age being the high priority.
Right.
For
right.
sure.
Yeah.
And really about where are we headed in the future. You know, another big thing, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but you add 100,000 square feet of indoor space and you're asked to staff it and your budgets don't go up
right.
a dime.
Right.
In fact, you've got less revenue and no budget. Yeah, we are pulling people. mm-hmm. out of this building and into those, mm-hmm. which we did. Mm-hmm. And you're hiring as many seasonals to work it without committing to the full-time staffing because of the costs associated with it.
Right.
So, you know, the conscious decisions of just doing away with programs here and there, not true. Shifting of responsibilities and people, absolutely. We openly said it during the budget season last year. Commissioners, we don't have the budgets to hire back. We're going to be moving people around, and that seemed to be acceptable. But yeah, it's a matter of developing that strategy moving forward. And every day, Wyatt and I are talking, interfacing, meeting. I told him today, I'm open to sharing whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. And somewhat, I think it's bit me personally, because I've shared too much. People have taken ideas and brainstorming sessions and assumed reality. But when I walk into a room, and Casey and Randy and Eddie can attest to this, it's about getting ideas on the table. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't continue to do what you've been doing financially, you've got to come up with alternatives.
Right.
You have to.
And I think
you're going to brainstorm anything and everything.
Right.
And you're going to get a hold of Overland Park. You're going to get a hold of Johnson County. You're going to get a hold of Hutch, Salina, whoever will talk to you. Mm-hmm. Because in 2009, most of the park and rec departments went through a recession. And in 2009, a lot of them converted from their traditional approach to 100% cost recovery because they lost revenue. They didn't have the revenue. City managers walked into park and rec offices and said, we can't continue to do it this way. It has to change. Go to Colorado Springs. Research how they treated their park and rec department in 2009. It went dire. They didn't do anything. Because they didn't have the money. It's the first place they went. In 2009, across the country, this occurred. 2020, clearly, COVID impacted, pandemic impacted, you saw it again. And what we did with our park and rec staff and programs during 2020 is not what a lot of other cities did in Kansas or across the region. Most of the staff were furloughed or let go. We kept them. We were committed to those people and committed to park and rec. We knew as soon as the pandemic came out, we wanted to be right there, ready to hit the ground with programming.
I think the question that comes back to me, for Wyatt and you and the staff that are there, is what do we do with the momentum now that's saying it's 2022 now, and how are we going to go forward? And what about those 28 programs? Are they gone forever? Are we going to build any of those back? Where are we as a community? There was a lot of suggestions about, well, this group would probably come in and help with the disabilities. This one might help with the summer theater that's gone. We can get better arts and spark the park sponsors and for the music, so we can have better plays and better programs. There's a lot of energy. We're here only for an hour and a half or 2 hours once a month, and Wyatt's a one-person show with so how do we capture and build a plan with the community that takes use of all these people who said, you know, we're all the scorekeepers, we'll be right there tomorrow, we can help find your sponsorships. There's a lot of momentum, and I understand that Wyatt's doing three jobs, maybe five. He won't confess to five, but I think there's at least three. How do we do that? How do we, instead of place blame now, I'm a positive direction person, and I don't expect an answer right now, but I think that's the spirit that we want to come forward with. It was helpful. I mean, I looked over we're getting way out of the agenda, and I'm a terrible chair. We haven't even approved the minutes, so. But, you know, when I look at our bylaws, it says nothing in our bylaws about this group being involved in current and programming, active in that way. It says only new programs. So maybe we need to look at, when we have the joint meeting with the city, about what is the role of this group. So there's so much to do. You did an excellent I actually watched your presentation yesterday till I ran out of bandwidth, and Cox said I now owed him $15 more because
I did take too long.
So let's go back, let's approve some minutes, let's get back in order. You have a presentation to make, you've perhaps made half of it already, but may I call for the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting, July 11th.